Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Great to have you in on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, we are loaded up. Welcome back, football 2017. 33 days. We will count you down until Arkansas State Week. Now, let's be honest. It'll fly by. Hope you're doing well. We'll get caught up with Hail Varsity's Greg Smith in 15 minutes. Mr. Greg will react to what he saw at practice. We'll talk some themes of fall camp and maybe get a Cruton update from Mr. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity at Greg Smith HV. In 1 hour, it is Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. We'll get coach's thoughts on what just the amount of work ahead for this defense before the season gets here. We'll get his thoughts on a new defensive analyst for Nebraska football, Gary Darnell. And also, you know, get some thoughts from Coach McBride on the ups and downs, the depth, the youth, all that good stuff that happens with fall camp. Plenty of room for you today on a Monday. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning. And to the text line, can text Hail to 88474. Email, if that's your thing, Chris at Hail Varsity. com. All right, so a lot to get to. Oh, yes, TJ Henning reminds me. Look, schmuck, you have tickets to give away. Ribfest, a pair of Ribfest tickets. Give me the dates of Ribfest. 17 through the 19th. I can hear it's bulletproof glass. TJ's behind. And my, it's not quite like Ace Ventura, where he's demonstrating that, you know, Pedactor was murdered. It was an inside job because of the glass. Our glass isn't quite that good. This is double seal proof glass. All right. Great to be with you. Okay. Now, let's start off here with Coach Riley. Coach Riley spent some time talking to the media yesterday after practice. It was good to just see everybody, first of all. Second of all, to go watch some football. Thirdly, to hear from Coach Riley. And here's where I want to go. I want to go with the secondary. Now, we talked about this Saturday, some areas of concern and emphasis and their key parts to this puzzle of 2017. The secondary, the corners specifically. And that was one thing Coach Riley touched on. Okay, Chris Jones is watching. Now you have two young quarterbacks, Eric Lee, Lamar Jackson. How did they do? How did they look? Can they step up this season?
I think that probably as we go forward with the corners, they're all young and their experience isn't big, but they are talented and they are smart. So what we'll just be looking for immediately is being sound, just being real smart. I think that that's going to be the way that they give everybody the trust that everybody needs for them to play, is that they understand their assignment, they understand what they have to take away at their position, and then that they are really sound down the field.
A lot of things hit on there. First, you accentuate the positive. What can they do? Well, they're talented. They're smart. And now the T word comes into play. Trust from Riley. Can they do things that don't hack off the other nine members of the defense, hack off their secondary coach, frustrate their head coach? Can they do all of those things? And listen, I like circling what you know about Eric Lee, what you know about Lamar Jackson. They are talented. They have the body type. They are smart. So translation there, don't get beat deep. Know your job. Create a reality with that no-seam split defense. Probably went backwards on that, but do your thing. And from a corner standpoint, Lee made a play on the ball and Skelly. Lamar was in good position. I thought the corners flowed well for day one. And both guys, man, you've had this roller coaster, especially with Lamar, of you come in, you're the greatest thing ever, you got a rude awakening to college, you got to regroup and kind of buck up, and now it's year two, ready to atone. Then you're Eric Lee. And you've had a luxury, frankly, the last couple of years to sit back and watch Jones craft his game, do his best, be zeroed in, laser focused. That's an amazing mentor to learn from. And now you got to get his back because he's hurt. So I like how Riley kind of threw out there what they can do. And they're good enough to play. They're good enough to be difference makers on this defense. They're good enough to keep this standard of excellence at corner. But they just got to be, they got to do their job and understand their job. And frankly, it comes down to confidence at corner. How many corners have you watched at Nebraska get torched? And the best of the best have had bad days. Think back to some of the horrific passing numbers. Louisiana Tech, Troy Edwards, ring a bell, anybody? 500? Well, yeah, that was rough. But do you learn from it and do you move on and keep on living, or does it blast you? And as a corner, you just got to have that. You got to really just be straight up and have that mentality, that amnesia. You just do. Especially thinking back to some of those early 90s corners where the Orange Bowl's on and it's a highlight show and you're the highlight. I mean, you're in the highlight getting beat by a Miami wide receiver. You bounce back and you're okay, and Baron Miles turned out okay. Michael Booker turned out okay. Tyrone Williams turned out okay. Fabian Washington turned out okay. Chris Jones turned out okay. Ralph Brown certainly turned out okay. It's got to bounce back from it if you do make a mistake. But don't hang your other bros out to dry at the corner spot. And right now Nebraska's feeling, they feel pretty good if these guys will just do their job. And there's a difference between being don't screw it up cautiousness and also just playing conservatively. Play to the defense's strengths with your skill set. And I think that's where Nebraska's kind of leading Lee and Lamar. And then once they got it down, once they're just flying around, it's all good. They'll be all right. Now, we talked about the quarterbacks and the strengths they have. What about Josh Kalu? Joshua Kalu, tremendous talent. Very versatile. The question was answered as to the plans for what Joshua Kalu will do here with camp starting. Now, here's Coach Riley.
You know, we understand we have a little bit of versatility there with Josh. His experience at corner is good. We have been excited about his fit at safety, what he brings in that area. So we like that look, and we are hesitant to move it. We feel with three guys right now, when you're talking about Lamar, Eric Lee, and Boodle, that we will have those guys and see who else breaks into it that are sound, smart, good football players. That's our first option, obviously.
So here is what Riley's saying. Kalu is so versatile. He's fast. He gives us speed. He's a good tackler. He's been around. He's been that hybrid guy for 100 years at nickel in his career. If you think about how Joshua Kalu got on the field early in his career, the plays he can make, the hits he can deliver, the Indiana game tackling in space, his size and length and athleticism. We're not going to hold the defense back because we are now ultra young at corner. We're not going to spite our face, so to speak. So I like that message from Riley. He's at safety. He's staying at safety. Three guys are very capable between Boodle, between Lee, between Lamar. Ride it out, make some plays, step your game up as a unit, do it defensively. So that's pretty good. And I like that's the mindset mentality you need moving forward. It's going to be a change. It's going to be dramatic at times because of the growing pains that come with the shift in philosophy and scheme. But we're going to let our best guy do his thing at a spot that really has a – it's more positive to have Kalu at safety than it is at corner because of what he can bring to the defense. What can Kalu do for you, the T-shirt, at the other 10 spots? So there's your update there. But don't ask him about the nickel. No, don't ask him, hey – when someone goes five wide or four wide, what are you doing?
Well, we're working through all that as we go. You know that. You know, I remember the day when I coached the 3-4 in the Canadian League, and we didn't have many players on our roster, and the backup players, you know, were not quite the same. So we didn't go nickel. We would rather keep Tyrone Jones on the field than to have some other guy come in the game. So I'm not saying we will not do that, but we have to be very thoughtful about that as we go into it.
That's translation. If you can't play as a nickelback, we aren't going to force you to play nickelback. That should be a DJ's mantra. We're not going to force it. Period. End of discussion. And we're not sure yet. We'll let you know when we know. More on the offense from Riley. It was good to hear him talk about the two of the spots, the domino effect that you have with the Jones injury. And the decision to make that other safety spot and the speed needed a priority when you move Kalu. Nebraska's had two hurdles, more than two hurdles, mind you, but they've had issues in the secondary to overcome with the scheme change, with the loss of Bobby E., and then with the injury to Jones. And they're trying to make their best of it, and the secondary looked good. Just some other observations from practice, and we'll get this down with Greg Smith. Had a great write-up on it. And get Greg's takes. But, I mean, Nebraska has some dudes physically, and it'll be even more of a true statement once they get pads on, once they get involved in live games, once they stand out and stick out in practice to kind of reaffirm this thought. But you have some fellas that are just, they're just put together. Next hour, we'll kind of get into, does Nebraska have difference makers on both sides of the ball to make 17 special? You think they do. We'll go down the list of some of the guys. But a couple of guys, like Carlos Davis. I mean, think of the growth he can have year one to year two. Khalil Davis, the growth he can have year one to year two. Lamar Jackson, one to two. That jump you take. And then Guy Thomas is just physically monstrous as a 17 or 18 year old when he lined up. McQuitty. I mean, Greg and I were doing the post practice video for HailVarsity.com, and I'm just like, my God, McQuitty is giant. He's huge. And these quarterbacks, man. Offensively, just a couple more thoughts. They did such a great job. There's two areas of the field they concentrated on yesterday. Between the seam, be it tight end or kind of a combo route with a two or three wide receiver set on one side of the field or the other. And then the way the defense, and the defense did well too. I mean, they reacted well. But in Skelly drills, the way things got sucked in and the running backs leaked out of the backfield, and the backs were able to catch and motor. I mean, it was really 50-50. There were a few plays where you're like, damn, that was a great throw. Day one, no pads, I know. I'm going to keep reemphasizing that. And two, either the way the defense would react to a play or when the offense had a good part of separation between the ball catcher and defender, the receiver, the way the offense can really space a defense. So there is some total blue sky to talk about with this defense, this offense, this football team in 2017. Plenty of more practices to get into, more substantive practices with pads, and then you'll have games eventually. But more from Coach Riley as we continue. He'll talk about the running backs in a little bit. We'll get caught up with Greg Smith, spend some time with him on practice, on the season, and less than an hour away from Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Excited to get caught up with Coach. We want you to get caught up with us. You want to talk about great football coverage and content and the ultimate online fan experience? I'm telling you about HailVarsity.com. Be part of our team when it comes to the subscription. And a six-month online subscription is yours right now. Caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, caller 5, a six-month online subscription yours to HailVarsity.com, 466-3776, Greg Smith on the way.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. He does recruiting and Nebraska coverage, HailVarsity.com. And he is exquisite on camera. Greg Smith with us at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Mr. Greg, how are you?
I'm excellent, man. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, and we'll dive into camp, some thoughts. Got a reaction to Riley and some Cruton, all that good stuff. So I know we had a chance to chat yesterday after practice, but for those who are afraid of seeing me on TV, what did you think of the practice? Two main things that you walked away with from the first practice.
Probably the first thing was that Josh Kalu looks to be staying at safety. There doesn't really seem to be any big rush from Coach Riley from what he said after practice or from what we saw during practice that he wants to, you know, move him out of that slot after the unfortunate injury to Chris Jones. It looks like DeCaprio, Boodle, and Eric Lee, not necessarily in that order, will be getting the first crack at that spot. Otherwise, it was really just that, you know, guys are having fun. It was good to have football back, you know, see people running around out there in helmets and shorts. I'm ready to see some pad action, though.
No, I know. And what is it? This weekend you'll get the pads, something like that. You got to be patient here, man.
I know. I just said I was excited that football is back, and then I'm already ready to jump to the next phase of this whole thing, which is, you know, getting some pads. Maybe, hopefully Thursday, you know, because I think that's the next practice that we can actually go and attend the entire practice. They change up the schedule on us a little bit, but hopefully that's when they strap on the pads.
Greg Smith is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. And, Greg, okay, I want to go back into the corners for a second. And Kalu is staying. And I spent the first segment just the one talking point I wanted to hit because, you know, the area of concern going in was corners because their experience level's not up there. There's talent. They're good football players, but you got to get comfortable and go execute it. With these two corners, Lee, Lamar, and you got Boodle, you got kind of three dudes for two spots. Do you think the understanding level has jumped? I say yes, too. Do you think they're playing free, or do you think they're playing overly cautious? And if they are being cautious, is that okay at this point?
You know, I do think the understanding level has jumped. And it's interesting, too, that I like that you threw Lamar Jackson in there because it feels like he's been around forever because he played as a true freshman, but he's just a sophomore. That's something that we've definitely got to keep in mind. But I do think that with those other guys, too, that the understanding level has jumped up. But I don't know whether or not it's to their benefit or not to be overly cautious, because maybe that's what it goes in between you being able to, you know, secure that spot. So Eric Lee coming out of high school, was a four-star kid out of Colorado, was really highly touted and is a good player, technically sound, but maybe if he plays a little too cautious, you know, a guy like Boodle, who's got all the speed in the world, may be able to jump over him. So you just never know, but I do tend to think, though, that this coaching staff, particularly Bob Diaco, will put not making mistakes out there at a premium and not leaving your teammates out to dry. So it could go either way on whether or not you need to play cautious or not.
Versatility at the defensive line, that seems to me to be kind of the name of the game with Khalil and even Peyton Newell, their ability to play inside as they've been outside for the first part of their career here. Do you like that ability for Nebraska? And could you even take it a step further? And if things are going really well, could you see some special personnel packages for pass rush situations? I mean, that's 4,000 yards down the yellow brick road here, but versatility is versatility.
No, it definitely is, and I actually think that versatility is the word that jumps out to me with that front seven in general, because even when you extend that to the linebackers, I think they've got a lot of guys that can do a bunch of different things, but I think it definitely starts with that defensive line, and there's a lot of guys where you can even go to guys like Dyshon Neal that could slide along that line. Both Davis twins can really do that. Freedom can move around as well. There's a lot of guys in that group on the line, and we saw, like you said, Peyton Newell playing some of that nose tackle spot, and that's even before you get to some of the guys coming into the program, like a Damian Daniels, who you figure will factor into the mix here, a Guy Thomas that we've seen move around just in one day out there. So there's a lot of intriguing athletes out there, and that's part of what happens on that first day as well, right? You're looking for body types. You're looking for where guys are lining up. Then you notice that kind of quickly here, I don't want to say that they've got like just a ton of budding All-Americans or anything like that. I don't want to have anybody running with that. But I would say that there's a lot of versatility, a lot of skill and youth along that defensive front seven.
Greg, talk to me about Carlos Davis. What can he do his second year?
Man, I think that he could be in line for a really nice season this year. As we already saw, he was pretty disruptive in practice yesterday. He did something that we kind of stopped and marveled at because we just haven't seen it a lot, and that's jump up and deflect a pass, which one of them resulted in an interception. I think Luke Gifford dove and picked it off. Doing little things like that, being disruptive and getting into the backfield yesterday and the light 11-on-11 drills that they were doing out there. I think he's in for a really nice season. I think he can make a big jump this year.
Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com, at Greg Smith HV. Greg, let's shift to the offense for a second, and Coach Riley highlighted the running backs. We'll have Coach Riley talking about that here next hour, and that was good. Lee, and really, frankly, the other quarterbacks looked more comfortable as practice went on, but the wideouts, and just with this offensive philosophy, where they can go with the football is pretty tasty between the seams or outside, and they didn't even go downtown trying to go take the top off. I mean, it's not just the fact that it's going to move the chains or there's someone open, but they can kind of pick the spot or the weak link defender, can't they, that they want to pick on throughout a game. When we move it forward and talk game planning, there's really no limit for this offense with where they can go do surgery, is there?
No, and I think that all of that you just mentioned comes back to having that confidence, in Tanner Lee and what he's going to be able to do and be able to see the entire field and read the defense, right? Like, you don't think that any of that can happen if you don't think you have a quarterback that can, A, handle that, and B, then make the correct decisions in there. And I was just thinking earlier kind of about, just kind of reflecting back on practice, thinking about the slot options that Nebraska has now, whether it's going to be Kean Williams, whether it's going to be J.D. Spielman, Tashaun Lindsey, who's gotten rave reviews already from everybody. That's three guys right there that you could plug into the slot, and you feel right now, at least, that you're pretty comfortable putting them out there. And while we talk about a lot during spring, that wide receiver depth, and we needed a little bit more. You needed just a couple of extra guys. I feel like they've got some guys in that wide receiver room that could really make a difference out there, and especially if those guys that we just mentioned, that's not DeMorde Pearsonell and Stanley Morgan Jr., who you figure will be your two leading receivers. Those guys are going to take a lot of the attention. So you're right. I think, and that's before we get to the tight end and Tyler Hoppus, and we saw that seam route that they're going to love throwing. Like, get ready, Husker fans, for that seam route, because you're going to see Lee DeHoppus in the seam quite a bit this season. I think there's a lot of options out there for this offense.
You know, when I think of the seam route, it's Johnny Mitchell running wide open. It's Harry and running wide open. I'm too young to remember Junior Miller, but damn it, I've seen film. I mean, the tight end down the middle is a pretty good thing. Nebraska fans smile about it, Greg.
No, they absolutely should. I'm glad you mentioned Matt Harrington, because that's a guy that I always thought that Matt Harrington is on my all-what-if team. Whenever that ever comes up, that subject comes up, Matt Harrington is one of the first guys that I mentioned.
Yeah. That's TJ's favorite quarterbacks, Jamal, you know.
I mean, underrated, TJ.
Where would Matt and Jamal be in the echoes of Husker fandom with if there weren't 90-yard touchdown passes for the only score of the game? Greg Smith is with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, a thought here on recruiting. Any update on some of Greg's guys and offers and visits? What's shaking out with recruiting here?
You know, not a lot happened over the weekend for Nebraska. I felt like all of the focus, and I think rightfully so, this weekend was on kind of getting back on the field. We have not seen a lot of movement. We will have a new Greg's Guys dropping this week on HaleVarsity.com, so I'll do a little work on that. But nothing really new to report on that front.
Offensive line, and that's going to be key for Nebraska this year. It's going to be key for future years. When it comes to landing more offensive linemen here, and that's one thing I think Penn State's been doing, is they've been really kind of cleaning up on not only the win of the Big Ten championship, but they're getting guys they need, positions filled. Do you think Nebraska's just in with there's too many guys in line for a beer, so to speak, with some of these guys they're going after? Or is it an issue of maybe some of the best offensive linemen, guys that have the ability to be really good at pass pro, are they maybe waiting to see how Nebraska can function and flourish in a pro style because they haven't seen it yet? What do you think's keeping Nebraska held back on that offensive line spot this season?
See, you know, it's interesting, too, because it feels like the entire thing has kind of slowed down for Nebraska. It's not just specific to the offensive line. I think part of that is Mike Riley kind of coming out a couple of months ago saying that the class could be done by July, right? So now we're looking, it's July 31st, and we're saying where are the rest of these commits, right? But specifically with the offensive line, I do think that I think that a couple of guys that Nebraska had their eyes on, like Chris Bleich, who kind of surprisingly committed to UCLA about a month or so, like people had him pegged and line, and for good reason, because he was really a Nebraska lean up until that point that he went out to Westwood and visited them. When that happened, I think there was a little bit of a reshuffling of the board. You saw an offer go out to a kid out of Washington, Cade Beresford, 6'7", 250, has kind of grown into the tackle position with a former quarterback. But I also think Nebraska is starting to dip their toe into the junior college offensive line and offensive tackle in particular recruiting as well. But some of those guys, like you were saying, there's a lot of guys in line, a lot of schools in line to get the services of those kids. So you're going to have to wait and see with some of them, see if the season shakes out in a positive manner and see if you can pick up some ground there. But I think Cade Beresford out of Washington is probably the guy to keep an eye on if there's going to be someone that has Nebraska towards the top of their list. But offensive tackle recruiting has just been a little bit of a bugaboo for this staff, as well. They've gotten a lot of guys. It's just not been a lot of true tackles, because a lot of guys that you notice getting moved inside to guard, but that's not specific to Nebraska, that's all around college football.
Greg Smith, please read him and follow him. HaleVarsity.com at Greg Smith HV. Not like you don't. Awesome work. More on recruiting from Greg later this week on HaleVarsity.com. Greg, great to catch up and talk some practice and football. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
There he is, Greg Smith. HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. So we'll take a break from day one of practice. Good article from the Bleacher Report. And since 2000, the best defenders they've ever seen. We'll talk about the list and tell you who's the number one.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
working through hour one on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Big thanks to Greg Smith, Charlie McBride, 25 minutes away. Bleacher Report. Good website. We'll get into Gary Darnell with Coach McBride, defensive analyst, making 110 G a year to help with the defense. Good for him. Okay, we'll even get into Bartman and his ring shortly. Okay. Think about the best defensive player you have ever seen in your life. We're going to put a little parameter on it since 2000. Survey says it's number 93. Now with the Dolphins, formerly of Nebraska, Ndamukong Suh. And that's the number that came out with the Bleacher Report and what they have deemed their 10 most dominant players defensively. Not a shock. We were kind of talking about this too. Aaron Babcock brought it up. Do you think you'll ever see, not this, will you ever see the likes of him again? Probably not. But just, it's easy to just go on and on and on about how dominant, how effective a guy was. I mean, it's the old Al Bundy legend, 4 touchdowns poke high in the championship game. But there are moments in every game where Sue took over, Sue put a team on his back, and his mates defensively were incredible that year in 09. I mean, he had over 90 tackles as a senior. He finished and probably got hosed for the Heisman. You know what he did against McCoy in Texas. You know what he did against Missouri. You know what he did against Oklahoma. Jared Crick, hell of a ball player. Crick had 4.5 sacks against Baylor. Why? Because they had 7 people on Sue. So he makes the Bleacher Report number one player they've seen defensively in the last 10 years. Well, since 2000. That's 17 years. Forgive me there. That's pretty awesome. But think of some of these names that Sue beat out, and deservedly so. Guys like Ed Reed. And Ed Reed's incredible. The article's from Greg Wallace, most unstoppable defensive players in college since 2000. I mean, Patrick Willis, that's old Jay Bird, Jay Moore's roommate. Patrick Willis was good for Ole Miss and kind of put them on the map, and I think that was probably an Ed Orgeron guy. Sean Taylor, the late, great Sean Taylor, was so good as a safety. 2002. He followed Ed Reed, by the way. Julius Peppers. Think of his college career, what he did at North Carolina. You also have Dwight Freeney that was incredible at Syracuse. But I think of the reason Sue is number one on the list, not just because of his talent, but he had multiple defining moments. He was on a team that went 9-4. He's a guy that, what happens to Nebraska football in 2009 if they don't have Ndamukong Suh? I mean, you already have the what the hell was that Iowa State loss. The old Pirate came in and carved you up 31-10. That's after winning in Columbia. That, by the way, Sue took over in that rainstorm with trying to break Gabbert's leg. And then the tip passes that turned into interceptions. You're not bowling with Sue. You're maybe a 4-win football team. Other guys on this list, and I'm not making this up, Manti Te'o. He comes in at number 5. I don't know that you put Te'o above Sean Taylor. In at 5, Glenn Dorsey. Glenn Dorsey was tremendous. Had a little trouble with the 3-4 switch when he got to San Francisco, but Pelini had Dorsey. Pelini ended up getting Sue coached up. I think the second most dominant and disruptive and forced defensively, though, behind Sue has to be Ed Reed. And Miami, as great as their team, they had one misstep on their way to the championship game against Nebraska, and that's Ed ripping off a football to beat Boston College. 12-7 was the score. It was an Iowa State-type-like game, but Ed Reed's ripped the ball, took it, and got it. Pretty incredible. Ed Reed, 6 foot, 200 pounds. And all he did was make plays. All he did was play injured from time to time. He led Miami. Where are you on Jadeveon Clowney? Are you a big Clowney guy? He's kind of getting it together with the Texans. Him and J.J. Watt, man, that's a nice combo to have. But were you just all in on Clowney, or were you, I saw the highlight. He popped some dude's head off. So he's got to be awesome. But, I mean, Clowney was, 6'8", close to three bills, and he could just run. Terrell Suggs, Nebraska fans, do you remember Terrell? I do. Defensive end, 44 sacks, 3 years. And then he got super just thick against when he joined Baltimore. And Suggs made the opener against Arizona State for T.J. Henning's Jamal Lord-led Huskers a living hell. Suggs was in the backfield, and then it only got better for Suggs. You look back at the 0-2 season, and you're wondering how in God's name by the time the year ended, where Nebraska got beat in the what was that bowl game? The Shreveport Bowl against Eli and Ole Miss. Arizona State finishes, I think, top 15 that year. They get worked by Nebraska as the season opener. But Terrell Suggs has an incredible year. Any disagreement? Ndamukong Suh, the top player defensively since 2000, the most disruptive player in college football. You can't do it. You can't talk him off that number one spot. But at number two, would you move Ed Reed up there? I'd put him in front of Clowney. I'd absolutely put him in front of Suggs. Ed Reed? Come on now, coming in at four? Way too low. Glenn Dorsey was nice. That LSU defense was awesome. But Sue and what he did, this isn't groundbreaking news, but what Sue was able to do for Nebraska, and then for Nebraska to not capitalize on a slew of defensive linemen post-Sue. They had some good ones. Randy and Malik and Vincent. But it's 4 years after the fact. You want to go home and cry? Look at the defensive linemen that were brought in by Nebraska post-Sue for about a 2-year window. Not all, but some. No me gusta. All right, coming up, Charlie McBride on the way. And we'll talk about that one game changer on each side of the ball for 2017.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes, that's awesome.
10-minute warning, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Big thanks to Greg Smith. We'll dive into that spark. Is there one for Nebraska on each side of the football? We just talked about Sue and what he did. The Bleacher Report's most disrupted defenders, the 10 most since 2000. And Sue, number one on that list, number one on my list when it comes to beauty. And price is Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. See, Mama Bear's birthday is coming up here in August, and it's kind of an annual tradition for me is go get her something shiny and beautiful from Sauter Heyman. Why? Because I'm not fun to live with. Pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds. They're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth, and they're eco-friendly. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. And they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Go see for yourself. See why they're awesome. See why the mama loves them. and can find a location that fits you. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln. 12th and O is downtown. You see Rick down there. You can go to South Point Pavilion, the Sauter-Hayman location, or out west with your friends in Grand Island. SauterHayman.com, yourbestring.com. This from Twitter, breaking news from Fake Sports Center. The Dodgers have acquired Steve Bartman from the Cubs for later use as a scapegoat when they're eliminated from the postseason. So if you're Bartman, trade shoes and caps and Sony Walkman for a moment. And the Cubs and the Ricketts family gave you a world championship ring, which is pretty sweet. And you saw, or maybe you read Bartman's statement, the word healing used. Maybe all fences are mended and everybody's healed. I'm going to ask you, if you're a Cubs fan, do you forgive the guy? And secondly, do you blame the guy? I can't blame him. 14 years later, you're on the honeymoon. We're both watching the Cubs. That happens. I have since then become a lapsed Cubs fan. But I don't blame. Listen, they had their chances, for sure. Wasn't him just, oops, better not spill the $18 popcorn, so I'm going to reach up here. But now the Cubs, what the Cubs did, will that make it less likely for him to get punched in the face if he ever returns to Wrigley? I hope, because the guy loves him some Cubs. And if you're the Dodgers, this is a beautiful move. Because if you get Yu Darvish and he wins for you, but you still don't win it. I know a lot of Dodgers guys that are going to be losing their mind with that. Next question I have is, if you're Bartman, do you sell it? It's not like you're going to go back. You're hoping fences are mended. You hope they invite you back. You hope you can go have an old style by Wrigley or in Wrigley. But it's risky. It ain't a sure thing. So you say thanks to the Ricketts family. You wear it once with the box. You get a photo op. And then it is black market memorabilia time. Sell that baby. Buy a lake house. Coach McBride's next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride brought to you by Emeritus. And no one likes to be distracted. If you find yourself preoccupied with financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus and protect your loved ones with disability insurance and investment planning, also protecting your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. And they've been keeping their promises for 130 years, giving you peace of mind. Emeritus, proud to stand with Nebraska Athletics, proud to bring you Coach Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, it's here, man. Camp is underway. How are you?
Are you having fun yet?
I'm excited. We got to go watch yesterday, and it felt good.
Well, that's good. I'm still babysitting. Now my second son's here, and he's got all his friends here, and we got a whole icebox full of Valentino's pizza, and
ooh.
I don't know all the stuff they brought, but it was a ton of stuff. So, and my two brothers are both here, so we're going to have a little eating party tonight. I think it's going to be.
Well, you're going to have a pizza party is what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, take your pills before, you know, take your Pepsi and all that stuff before. I don't know how many runs I saw in there. It looked like 50.
Oh, they brought Nebraska up to you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they did. But it's been a great week.
Well, good. That's awesome to have family and your sons and your brothers up there. So you got the pizza, you got the runza. Did they bring you any hot dogs?
No. I have enough of those in the icebox that I've been eating. That's kind of been my diet.
Yeah, Coach, I'm envious. An all hot dog diet.
Yep.
Well,
all
good.
Tart Franks.
There you go. Coach Charlie McBride with this. Well, Coach, I wanted to start off with one of your kids at that rush-in spot that got the phone. Well, it wasn't a phone call. It was in the mail. But Chad Kelce is going to be in the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, a part of the 2017 class. We talked to Chad on Friday and had a lot of smile in his voice when he remembered you and talked about you. And I wanted to start things off today with our visit. What do you remember and what do you think of Chad Kelce and what he brought to the party?
Oh, boy. The first thing that he was a good football player, but when I got to meet his family, you know, and everything, that was a seal the deal, because you knew darn well that, you know, that their heart was in the right place. And of course, Chad, his blood was red, so there wasn't a problem there. But, you know, that's probably what his character, and, you know, he was a tough guy. I mean, you know, he was, his younger brother's probably a better athlete, really. Mm-hmm. But as far as a hard-nosed player, you know, he was it. And, you know, you couldn't help loving the kid.
Charlie McBride's with us. Hail Varsity Radio. His thoughts on Chad Kelce. Coach, want to switch to the camp that's underway. And Coach Riley spent some time after practice. I mean, you know, 100 questions were asked, and it's day one, and there's no pads, so there's plenty of time to get it right with, you know, analysis on this.
Right.
But the question that a lot of us have, and I want your thoughts here, the young cornerbacks, because you don't have Jones, so you've got three guys in there, a couple of redshirt freshmen and a sophomore, trying to figure out the corner spot. And I wanted to get your thoughts here with the corners and how you can win with young corners, and then why it's difficult also to win big with young corners. And you've had both ends of the spectrum here, where you've had young corners be great, and they were great for a career, and then you've had guys that took their lumps and got better. How do you juggle the fact of youth and inexperience at corner, even though they're physically talented?
Well, the first part of the season, you go with the guy that we always pretty much, maybe not the best athlete, but the one that knew what he was, you know, in other words, you know, how you know, mistakes and things at corner can put you to sleep. And in our defense a long time ago, there were a lot of man-to-man coverage. So we had maybe a little bit of different parts, but it was simple. The corner position, simple who you had, what it was, and so forth. And, you know, the basic other thing we played was probably cover two and three roll. And so there was a couple of zone things, but the man-to-man stuff was important, and the adjusting in the zone stuff. So the thing that, you know, and I don't know their defense, you know, what it occurs, but I know the one thing, if they have checks in it, you definitely have to have somebody that's, you know, that really knows what's going on. And from that point on, then you go to the best athlete.
Okay.
And but you know, it takes, sometimes there's a little snot in some of the guys' noses that maybe the best athlete, but maybe he needs to learn something. And the first few games when you're playing out of that, you need to to really find out, you know, where they are as far as reacting. They even react in practice. I mean, that's something. But you put them in a game, and it works two ways. Either they freeze up, or they play better than you thought they could play. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what there is kind of no in between, really. So I think the thing at corner position is you know, and they probably have a few more little checks and stuff. So they're probably looking at the best athlete who can, you know, pick up the defense the quickest.
If you look at the 3-4, going back to when you guys ran the 3-4, what were some of the roadblocks with it just in general? When you look at offenses today, can you apply some issues? I mean, where not that you want it to happen, but where can an offense have an advantage against a 3-4?
Well, you know, a 3-4 is all how you recruit that way. And we 3, so it's, you know, it's kind of a different can of worms. Mm-hmm. You have to recruit different kind of people. Not, you know, the inside guys, you know, they're a bunch of rockets anyway. They can line up anywhere and learn something. They need to learn how to play the blocking schemes and get after the quarterback.
Okay.
And they, no matter where they're lined up, they, you know, you're going to go back to the same old, the guy that's a, you know, never gives up, that's going like a million miles an hour all the time and that kind of thing. But when you get to the defense or outside backers and things like that, those guys are, you know, they have a lot of things to do. They got to cover, they got to rush, they got to run stunts up front. They got to, I don't know if they're running any zone or fire blitzes yet, but those things are involved. And so it's tougher for what we would call defensive ends. Do they call them tackles inside and ends, or are the backers outside? I don't know.
They're outside backers. They have a defensive end, a nose guard, and a defensive tackle. But they can kind of all.
So the inside guys are like pro ball. They're defensive ends playing 5 technique,
right?
Over the okay. So that's one thing. The defensive ends, you know, are going to play a lot on the weak side and with the backer dropping. So those guys, unless, are they flipping?
They're still kind of working through it.
Okay. Well, they, you know, flipping is a tough, you know, you end up with 2 tight ends, it doesn't make any difference. But if you have a special guy that can rush and they're playing a lot of no tight end, or they're playing 1 tight end, and you're on the weak side all the time with your best pass rusher, that's where you should go. And the other guy should be, you know, so if you're flipping, that's what you do. I think in the scheme that they're playing, I think the hardest position to play are the outside backers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing that we tried to do with our players in a 4-3 was we started out trying to play man, so they knew exactly, okay, and kind of learn the patterns that player ran and be able to cover them. Now, if you go to a zone or a cover 2, and you have to learn, you know, the basic principle is this guy goes outside and one, somebody's coming inside, you know, and this, you know, that simple kind of thing that. And when you break them down each week, you have to really, really hone in. You may have to drop 3 yards deeper. You may have to widen your drop. You may have to, you know, there's so many things that those guys have to learn. So of all the positions, it may be the outside backers that have the toughest job.
Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. Coach, I wanted to get your reaction and ask you if you know Gary Darnell at all.
I know that guy. He's a sweetheart. I'm telling you now.
He's a sweetheart.
Gary's been, he's a good man. He's one of the good guys in college football. And I mean, we, Oklahoma State, he was all, every time I turned around, he was somewhere else. But we always seem to get together. I think he might have been the defensive coordinator at Texas when they beat us.
He was, yes.
But, you know, after the game was over, we were both smiling at each other. I mean, you forget that it's over. You got a friend that you can trust and you know. And that, he's one of those guys. I mean, I bet he's pretty excited about being at Nebraska. You know, he's been to some good places, but I think he's going to find out that this is a good stop for him.
Well,
and I think the people ought to not be even worried about the person that knows football. That guy knows football.
Well, it looks like it because he was at A&M, and now he's a defensive analyst, which means obviously he can't be on the field, but he can help game plan. From your experience with Coach Darnell, Coach McBride, what's his specialty? I mean, he's well versed. He's been a head coach. He's been to a ton of programs. But what do you think he'll be focused on at Nebraska?
Well, I think he's an outside backer, inside backer guy. I mean, he could coach. I would think either one of those positions. That would be his thing. You know, he was primarily a defensive guy, so he's going to fit in well that way. And where Bobby was, Elliott was more of a secondary guy. I think he got a more of a front seven guy. With him coming in as fast as he is, learning the terminology probably choke him a little bit. Those are the hard things for the freshmen to learn, and all the terminology they had in high school to get mixed up and all kinds of things. But, you know, he's one of those guys that will adjust fast, and he's seen enough that, you know, that he can adjust fast.
Charlie McBride's with his coach. I've got about 90 seconds. And I just got a question. Are you? There's a skybox available at Memorial Stadium. Coach Osborne's not going to use it anymore, and I'm just wondering if you're interested.
Well, no. I can't get there. I think this week I'm going to find out a little bit. I got some things to do this week. I'll find a little bit about myself. I think.
Sure.
You know, and that kind of stuff. So, but, you know, we're planning on for sure going to the, if we can, you know, it's going to be going to the 90, to the reunion game for sure, you know. And,
sure.
It'll be a reunion for me and, you know, the head coach at Wisconsin, probably his mom. They were, you know, he was like 14 years old and 15 when I was coming over to their house for dinner on Monday night before our meeting.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, our families are really close, and in fact, his dad, I got him. He was a high school coach, and I got him to get a GA job at Wisconsin. And from that point on, you know, when he passed away, he was at University of Wisconsin Platteville.
Okay.
Super family. I mean, super. And you probably know that in that family. Bob Greco over at Westside is. Would be George's son-in-law.
Okay.
So that whole family is, you know, hooked up with the Crist family.
That's a great story. I didn't know.
Bob's wife is a nurse at the medical center, and you know, so she had been working at pediatric surgery.
Okay.
That's a great family, though.
Well, that'll be a good football game. Coach, we'll catch up with you next week. How's that sound?
That's good. I'll probably be, I hope I'll be here, you know. I'm really getting faster.
Well, I know you got that speed still, and keep that pizza and Runza diet going with the hot dogs.
I can't beat my kids up anymore.
I'd still bet on you. I like it. Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, thanks for the time.
You bet. Bye now.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. And it's brought to you by Emeritus. Good stuff from Coach. And he's got a connection to everybody. He's just that good. And going over to Paul Chryst's house for dinner when Paul was a junior high kid. The Runza and hot dog diet is something we all should strive for, honestly. And I like his thoughts on the outside linebacker. Great info on Coach Darnell, the defensive analyst Nebraska brought in. Yeah, outside linebacker, inside linebacker specialty, front seven specialist. We'll dive into that spark for 2017. Good column by Tom Chattel Sunday. We'll spend some more time with it. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. and good info on Mr. Darnell, your new defensive analyst. Some more thoughts from Coach Riley coming up. Can join us, tap the line, Chillingbridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, on Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning on Twitter, and Chris at HailVarsity.com, 466-3776, your chance at Ribfest tickets here before we say goodbye at 6. And let's get into Nebraska and what they can maybe get on either side of the football, and two reasons that Nebraska could have a better than expected year is the offense and their because of their quarterback, the offense and the defense. And Tom Chattel had a good column Sunday we'll get into in a moment, but more from Riley. And Eric Olson, the Associated Press, was there after the practice yesterday, and the question asked here about year three, cut eight here. How critical is year three? And that's a question that might be on your mind. And a lot of programs, you have to do well and do it big in year three, and you want success in year three if you're a Nebraska football fan, but there's like mandates in Texas where you're Charlie Strong and you get 3 years and you're gone. There's mandates at Notre Dame. You better play for a championship or you're gone. At Notre Dame, there is no year four if you don't have a successful year three. And I think Nebraska fans have taken a step back while still having a high thirst and demand for great football and winning and beating good teams in big games. I think the reality has set in, because you really do like this coach, that he is kind of building it his way, and there's been some different pieces he's used year one, year two. He had some great pieces in year one that went to the NFL. Last year, he still had some pretty good pieces from a veteran wide receiving core, but you saw what a mess the offensive line was, be it injury or inexperience or both. So now you got year three. And what's the vision? How crucial is the year? Cut eight, Coach Riley, he responded to that.
Well, you know, I don't know. They're all crucial. They all feel crucial when you're in the middle of them. So I don't have to distinguish between all that. I think that our expectations are is to establish more of the football and get better at the football, and to obviously grow our culture of what we want this thing to look like, act like, be like, and to continue to recruit at the highest level that we can.
So he outlined it there. Be good off the field. Be great people off the field. Be really, really good on the field. And recruit the best talent there is in America. There is his outline. There's his vision. And it will translate to success and wins if he has anything to say about it. And from a critical year, do you think it's a critical year for Nebraska in year three and for Coach Riley? I think it's critical from the standpoint that you need to make some headway in the West. This isn't a hot seat job discussion. It's not what I'm doing here. I'm just saying, from a West Division standpoint, I think it's important for Nebraska to take a step forward. And instead of being swept by Iowa and Wisconsin, you sweep Iowa and Wisconsin, because you're going to have a better quarterback than both programs. You have your staff that puts this, all of these ingredients together for, if you're a Nebraska fan, hopefully an awesome meal. Your staff is fantastic. I mean, think about this. Guys getting your position groups ready, either on the recruiting trail or with the game plan. Perella, Bray, Diaco, Dante, Booker. They're bringing in talent. They're really excitable teachers. They're new. Altogether, they're new. Offensively, Keith Williams, need we say more about what he can do to coach up wideouts? Running backs looked freaking awesome yesterday. Day one, no pads again. Disclaimer. And then you got your quarterback. So from a critical year question, yeah, you need to win the West. You need to be going to the last weekend with a chance to win the West. Nick, you nod your head going, yeah, that'd be kind of cool if you're Nebraska football. More from Coach Riley, cut 9 on vision and how crucial the year is to him. And he was right. They're all critical. They're all crucial.
I mean, we all know the goals. We all know what has to be done that way. So we're just trying to kind of rise the boat all around the whole program. And I feel good about that.
So he is looking in the eye when he's saying this, that, yeah, is talent on the field getting better? Yeah. Are kids doing the right thing off the field? That's what he wants. And from a infusion of talent, are you recruiting well? Time will tell if it pans out on the field, but at least based on rankings, yeah, you're doing pretty well there. So Nebraska, when it comes to how critical year three is, yeah, you need to be in the West, you need to win in the West, and you need to – this is my kind of – it's not negotiable. It's hard to win in college football. It's hard to win on the road in college football. And I might be an old guy, but I don't think that you as a Nebraska fan are ready to say, yeah, you know, we're just not as good as Northwestern. You know, Minnesota's just got us. They're just a better football program. Wisconsin is, yeah, they're just the 3.0 version of Nebraska 1970 to 1999, 2002. Yeah, you know, man, those Iowa Hawkeyes, just hard to be as tough as them. Have you uttered that? Has that gone through your mind? Don't think so. I think the reaction has been, what the hell? Iowa's stomping you at the curb. Wisconsin finding ways to win. Instead of blowing you out now, they're winning at the buzzer. Northwestern, they really truly want to change that purple to red. They can't, so they claim to be the true NU. And then there's a guy on caffeine. It's a IV drip that's now taking things over so he can be at a better program in 2 years. It is always critical, like Riley said. But his vision, the direction he's going, what they think can happen is good. So we got to ask the question, does Nebraska have a guy on each side of the football that can provide that spark, that can be a difference maker on offense or on defense? Last hour, we talked about Sue, where he ranked on the Bleacher Report's top 10 most disrupted defenders since 2000. He's number one. Offensively, think back to when Nebraska was in games of substance and won games of substance. How did they beat some of the teams that are contending for championships? You got to go back a ways for either conference championships, national championships. I mean, they had the advantage at quarterback there, the advantage at skill spots, running back, eye back. But their advantage was on the offensive line. Defensively, their advantage was dudes who could get after the quarterback, and they had more than one. So I'm not going to get complicated and ask you if Nebraska has more than one. We're going to find some people that are going to be the reason Nebraska does contend deeper into the year for the West, maybe even win the West. What could prevent them from doing so is their crossover games. But the home schedule sets up for you to do well, aside from Ohio State, to win the West. But who are the guys that could help you make that leap? Obviously, at quarterback, you got it in Tanner. He needs help. There's 10 other dudes that got to block for him and catch the football and run the football. but he's one guy. You could have a sound argument with proof on the field that you have a top three quarterback in the Big Ten. His skill set in the offense. Barrett's been there 200 years and pretty good. McSorley's coming off a championship and is solid. And the way he finished the year is only going to make him feel invincible. But if you're asking a guy to take you down the field for the final 2.5 minutes and you're in the game against Penn State, Lee's the guy to do it. And he's the reason you wanted him here. So there's one guy that could be a spark or a difference maker for Nebraska. Defensively, I'm searching. And it's not for lack of talent, but you just don't know yet because you transitioned into that 3-4. And a guy that Greg and I talked about a little more than an hour ago is Carlos Davis. I mean, listen, you got Jones and you got Kalu, and you know Jones is hurt. And we talk about the corners. But let's talk about stopping the run and getting after the quarterback. Could Carlos Davis be that guy? We know the defensive end slash outside linebackers, those guys off the edge will be key, but we don't know who's going to be that Von Miller type. What you do know, though, is Carlos Davis has had another year and another offseason under Perella. And could Carlos just be a beast? Shown some flashes. But could he be one of those guys? And that's where Nebraska's at right now. You're asking and you're trying to find reasons for Nebraska to be a contender. And you have a quarterback that could be special. And you have this scheme that's supposed to make you better and fit your personnel, let you be more athletic. But who are the guys that are going to make it go? Quarterback, yes. Do you have a couple of dudes on defense that can be changers slash erasers? Play at a level like Sue or Levante? I don't know. I'm going to throw Dejon Gomes in there, too. Working through a Monday. Football is here. Great to have you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Well, working on it anyway. Back with you, winding through a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Who are those spark guys for Nebraska in 2017 that either can take the team from good to beyond when it comes to West contention? Reminder to you, 7 out of 10, that's too many. The portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year, if they've been using their seatbelt, at a minimum 69 alive today. And good folks at the law enforcement agencies on the lookout for seatbelt violations. A reminder to you to click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Who's a couple of guys? One? More than one? Do you have any that could make Nebraska jump from good to really good or beyond? 466-3776-800-825-5865. Tanner Lee's the obvious choice. But I'm saying Carlos Davis could be one of them special players. Weber's good. Kalu, though, as much as they talk about Kalu and what he can provide this defense, and I mean, the guy's big, he's fast, he's physical. He could just flourish, and he'd relish, but he'd flourish in this setup. Let's talk running backs, okay? Because it ain't going to fly real high if you're averaging 3 a carry. And let's have a just frank discussion, too, about rushing yards per game. I'm not going to dare throw out the over-under 200 a game. It'll be under. Unless it's not. But what's the number that you're good with as a Nebraska fan? Or do you care? Just get me the win. Get me the W. Back to the, how's it look? What's in the sausage? No. You'll have to run the football successfully. period. Don't care if that's draw. That might be the short passing game. But they're going to try to run it. They are. How's it go? Do you have a guy that's a fella back there at IBAC that can make a difference? Help your quarterback. Help the O-line. The last great offensive line here at Nebraska was when? Great. 2000? Yeah. Fanotti? Yeah. Hochstein? Raiola? Boom. The last really good offensive line here, 13. Searles, Qualley, Spencer Long. Where are you from that point? Couple of juniors on the left side. I talk with my hands too much, TJ. I'm so sorry. I'm giving the peace sign. You got Conrad at center, and then you got that right side. Can they get it done? That's what the talk was before Fan Day from Gates and company. They want it on their shoulders to be able to run the football. Well, here's Coach Riley, not on the offensive line, but the running game. How'd the offense look? Cut five here. And the running backs, what they add to the offensive line's ability will be crucial this year as we talk practice in day one yesterday.
You know, I was impressed with the backs first. I think that they're all in good shape. It appeared to me like it was all kind of workmanlike with those backs. They went in, did their job. They look good. They're all physically prepared, I think, at probably the highest level of their lives. I think they're all ready to go. And I also just had some glimpses of Jalen Bradley athletically. I was impressed with that. So I think that room is rising as far as what we might could get out of them, and I'm excited about it.
You know, for him to say the room's rising, that's a compliment. That's a focal point with this offense because it's going to need to be good. And maybe one of the running backs step up. You know, here's what I wonder. We'll talk to Jay Bird about this week. But with the running game, do you let it just kind of flow and stay with the hot hand? Or based on personnel packages and matchup advantages you believe you'll have, do you, for the sake of change, make that change because 3rd and 8 says, okay, it's time to get Trey Bryant in over X and Y out of the backfield? Now, I know 3rd and 8's typically a pass situation, so you may keep him in for a blocking standpoint. So that could screw things up. Okay. More on the offense. You have cut six here. Riley continued, but he highlighted the running backs first from an offensive standpoint.
I think it's a pretty good sign. If you're asking just the question about the offense, I feel somewhat the same on defense, but I think the execution of the foundation of what we put in today, we put in, you know, really parts of about two or three different series offensively, and I thought it was pretty smooth. It was pretty clean. We were able to function on a pretty extensive team period and in a pretty extensive interaction pass skeleton period, so I thought that was pretty good.
All the crap we worked on and we told you to work on by yourself has worked out okay. Day one didn't make him cry. That's pretty nice. This is my favorite part of yesterday, though. Got 13. Are you thinking about the Ducks? Are you thinking about Oregon? Well, Riley was asked if he's ready for Oregon yet.
I will be really, really excited, no. Especially if we win the first game. That'll make that trip.
Okay. So he's talking Arkansas State. Not Oregon. He's not focused on Oregon, but he was asked about Oregon, which was good. Can tweet us on Hail Varsity at @Schmidt_radio, @TJ_Henning. And at Hail Varsity, or fire up an email, Chris@HailVarsity.com. Couple of dudes. Who do you think can be a difference maker, not just for bigger and better for Nebraska, but listen, it starts with the West. You may be recruiting against the East, but you got to win the West. And as I look down, Nebraska's likely got an advantage at quarterback if they can keep him healthy and sane, not running for his life. And a guy like Carlos Davis could be just a home wrecker. Just blast what the offenses want to do to this Nebraska defense. Another thing that was touched on was the versatility of Khalil Davis. Here's a guy to watch and keep an eye on in the middle. And Coach Riley touched on that with Khalil, what he can do. We'll hear that in a little bit, next segment to say goodbye. But Khalil's ability to play on the edge and then also play in the middle, and the footwork he's got, the burst he's got, the strength he's got, the understanding he has at this young age behind Mick. It's a pretty good asset for Nebraska. Winding down a Monday on Hail Varsity Radio. Couple last thoughts from Coach Riley before we say goodbye. Get you set up for tomorrow. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down a Monday, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. What do we got lined up for tomorrow? I'm racking my brain. Ah, yes. Words from Diaco, as he'll have a chance to speak to the throng of media after spring or fall practice. What am I saying? Spring. Feels spring-like if we want to get down to it. You'll also get caught up with Mitch Sherman and Mr. Rick Pizzo. That's tomorrow. Mr. Pizzo will be back with his Big Ten Buffet time. Let's get into Khalil Davis and him moving inside and out with the versatility. Don't worry, homies. I got your Rib Fest tickets shortly. But Khalil Davis, cut 12, and Riley on just what he can do for a defense.
Absolutely. Khalil is, you know, it's with his background that he had at the nose, it also creates some versatility there. But you know, as far as a start and as far as a start on normal situations, first and 10 between the 30-yard lines, it's a pretty good look and a good idea.
The idea being you have some fellas that can play different spots, and just like that personnel package you may have on offense that's pretty good and go to, why not create your own little death lineup defensively, to borrow Golden State's name and terminology for their small lineup. Just get a lineup and get after the quarterback and isn't a liability against the run or the pass as you work your way through this 3-4. So tomorrow we'll get more into Nebraska football. Don't forget to catch up with HailVarsity.com and all the coverage of practice, the reaction to practice, and, of course, the hot reads in the morning with Brandon Vogel. Big thanks to Gary, our dear friend, Greg Smith, and, of course, Charlie McBride. Always love to get caught up with Charlie. And he told us about Gary Darnell and what he was able to do with a lot of his career. So that was good. And it's pretty nice. Nebraska, a new defensive analyst on staff. What caller we want to do here? Give me a number. Not that. That's not nice, TJ. 4. Caller 4 right now. A pair of Ribfest tickets are yours. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. You want to go to Ribfest? Be caller 4. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Caller 4 right now. Ribfest tickets are yours. If you want to chime in and make it happen. So we'll get caught up tomorrow with Rick Pizzo. We'll get caught up tomorrow with Mitch Sherman of ESPN. And Ribfest tickets are yours. If you like, pretty easy. Caller 4 right now. So, okay. Caller 4. All right. We'll let it happen. And tomorrow, find us at 4 on Hail Varsity. Miss any part of the show, the podcast, your friend on your terms? Can be as selfish as you want. Log on hailvarsity.com. Also, can hit the ESPN Lincoln app for the podcast. Subscribe to iTunes. Enjoy it. All right, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Hail Varsity will be with you. Thanks to TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. We'll talk to you next time. So long. Have a good one.